Welcome to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
Hello, folks. It's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine, and I'm joined by Mick Kafer, president of CAM Industrial Solutions. For folks that don't know, CAM delivers preventative and corrective maintenance turnaround at small capital project construction services. Mick, what's happening, my friend?
How you doing, Jeremy? Good to be with you today.
So, Mick, let's start off, man. What is this office you're in? Where are you at? You in Canada? You in Houston? Where are you at?
No, Jeremy, I'm actually based out of Houston today. We do have two head offices in Calgary and in Houston. I have not decked out my Houston office yet, so I am occupying the office of somebody whose backdrop is pretty neat.
And I thought you have commandeered someone else's office for this interview.
I most certainly did.
Nice, man. I like it. All right. Well, hey, there we go.
So if you see something on the camera for the audience, the stuff behind me does not belong to me.
Okay.
If you like it, then it belongs to me.
Oh, that's fit. All right, man. We're good. We started this thing off right. So, Mick, let's dig into it, man. So some folks aren't familiar with everything that CAM Industrial Solutions does. Just tell our audience a little bit about the business. And I want to get into the history because I think that explains the purpose of the organization.
As you had stated, we specialize in maintenance services, turnarounds, small outages, as well as small capital work. And we also have a power O&M arm to the business. You know, our field work uses around a dozen different types of trades, you know, heavy mechanical services trades like boilermakers, pipe fitters, you know, as well as carpenters, millwrights, just to name a few. We are based across all of North America, both in Canada and the US. We're probably at 45 different sites and have anything from 4,000 to 5,000 employees on any given day in the field. We do cover both labor postures, and by that I mean union and non-union. And we're probably more known in the industry for, you know, our predecessors. We originally came from the Jacobs organization. We were sold to Worley in 2019, and now we're a standalone business from last year, 2023.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear, Mick, and I tell you, Mick, I think like a lot of our audience will understand a little bit more about the origin here for CAM. But I want to get into the acquisition itself. You know, what was the nature of the acquisition and its expected effect on the ongoing business? Talk how it kind of pieces everything together.
Right. So the acquisition was a private equity purchase. I mean, I think, you know, for a large part, it signaled confidence in the company's potential. You know, part of that confidence is that the operational leadership was retained. I think that's an important component to, you know, the confidence that the private equity firm showed in its leadership. But it was equally complemented with, you know, a lot of strategic functional expertise in the industry to ensure that the business moves forward. I think, you know, to be honest with you, there's really four significant growth areas that we see or opportunities for growing this business. You know, one being product innovation, the second one being operational improvements, you know, expanding into new markets, and there's a real appetite also for some complementary mergers and acquisitions down the road.
No, absolutely. And so, look, it's 10 months later. Tell us about the changes and really the progress. Mick, I think for most leaders, you know, the progress is perhaps it's always something you wish would pace even faster. I know I feel that way. Most business owners do. But talk about the progress because you guys have made a lot of headway.
Yeah, so no, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, I think first and foremost is just the environment that's been created. You know, we've come from, you know, big publicly traded companies, and I refer to that as, you know, we were Titanic. Things moved slowly. You know, the culture gets formed in an organization, but if you want to switch gears or change directions, that takes a lot of time. So we're not part of a big corporate machine anymore. I think we're a lot more intimate. It's more personal feel to the organization. We're hierarchically very flat now. You know, I strongly believe that customers are never going to love a company or CAM until we love it first. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're a service provider, and when you're in the service business as we are, you know, people are truly our biggest asset, and in many cases, potentially your only asset. And it's an important component that's in our core values, you know, that people play a large part in CAM and its future. And I truly subscribe to the, you know, to the belief that if you look after your people, they'll automatically look after your clients. So our first and foremost focus is really on our people. And if you have good people and people that believe in the culture of the organization, the environment that's being created, you know, they will care about the clients and they'll grow the business just, you know, naturally.
No, that's a great point to make. And I think so many of us strive for that mentality and the challenges implementing it. And you're right, building that culture and applying that to the clients. That's a great way of saying it. So I appreciate you saying that. So as you sort of move forward in time, you know, how is CAM investing to position itself to compete in this space? I mean, there's certainly a lot of competition in this space.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the competition is fierce. You know, I think the first and foremost and critical thing when we became part of this organization was equally important to me personally, you know, not just for myself, but also for the team that came over, was, you know, our principals support investing in this business. And so what that means is there's ability to spend money wisely. You know, I always use that mantra. Sometimes you have to spend money to make money. Right. And that's not always something that happens, you know, either in public companies or you know, in private equity companies. But we've been incredibly encouraged in terms of the investments that have been put into the business to date. You know, standing up the business now, almost a year removed from the Worley organization, and then as we invest in the future in terms of the technology digitization space and differentiating ourselves. You know, this is an ever increasing competitive landscape. And we cannot survive by being a low-cost provider. We have to really, to be honest, be a solution finder, you know, continuously seeking advancements in the effectiveness of our work execution. And as I said earlier on, really utilizing both those digital and technology solutions, because I think that's a large component in terms of, you know, how you differentiate yourself in the industry today.
So, Mick, my next question is a little on the lines of what's next, right? Where do you see the organization going? You could take that anywhere you want. Look, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Talk about the next step forward.
Well, I think today, you know, in the environment we face, and this is no different for CAM, but we need to really remain relevant. You know, in a maintenance and services business, you can easily become a commodity. And that's a dangerous place to be in. We need to be an extension to our clients' core business, you know, and ultimately a necessity to them. You know, use as an example this analogy. If you go to a restaurant and you went to a good restaurant last night and you leave that restaurant and you don't remember the server. In fact, you may not even remember what server looked like, but you know that you had a great dining experience. That to a large extent is, you know, our role to the client, you know, to keep the assets operational, to look after our people and make sure that they're safe with minimum fuss and noise. So, you know, clients want to know that the assets are up and running, and we're a big component and facilitator of that, but there's no hoo-ha about it. There's really just, you know, getting on with the business and finding solutions for, you know, the challenges and opportunities that face us every day.
That's right. You know, Mickey, earlier you mentioned people. Everyone is concerned at a maintenance turnaround, even capital projects level. When we survey our audience and our consumers of BIC media outlets, including print and digital, what we hear is quality of crafts, right? Quality of the work being done. How is CAM Industrial working towards workforce development, and how are you ensuring great craftspeople?
Yeah, you know, Jeremy, this is, I think, probably the number one issue that the industry faces today. And to be honest with you, it's an incredibly complex problem. You know, the gap between the demand for labor is increasing and the supply for labor is decreasing. And that gap is ever widening and is progressively getting worse. You know, I think it requires an industry solution. It is, you know, too often today, I think we look at individual components. You know, it's a contractor. We expect the contractor to provide the solution or their perspective. They're responsible for that. Or, you know, the government or industry. The clients. And then I think the industry as a group needs to work a solution, because, the demand for labor is really driven by market forces. And the contract is a conduit to that demand, but that does not mean that CAN doesn't have a significant role today to play. It most certainly does. We strongly believe that the work is going to go to the contractor or to a competitor, if you wish, with the person who can provide the labor and the highest quality labor. You know, and in terms of the specifics of what we're doing, I'm a little bit guarded because I think, you know, that is a significant differentiator for us. But I go so far as to say it's an absolute priority for us and a distinctive advantage in an area that we see is so critical today. And it's probably something that, you know, all of our competition is wrestling with too.
No, that's fantastic. So, Mick, I want to get a little bit more to the personal side of things. I mean, for folks that maybe not even familiar with your total career, your background, take us back a little bit. I mean, talk about your origin into this marketplace or maybe some highlights in your career that kind of led you to this role as here with CAM Industrial Solutions.
Yes, I've been, appreciate that question. By way of accent, I'm originally from South Africa, immigrated to Canada in 2001. I've been in this business since 2006. So like I said earlier on, the Jacobs and Worley predecessor companies I joined in 2006 and had a tremendous journey, specifically in the field services business. I have the privilege today of leading this whole organization across North America. I distinctly divide the business, in three components, two of them being, the maintenance and turnaround outages business, small cap, 50% in Canada, heavily, or all of that is union, and 50% in the US, primarily open shop or non-union, if you wish. And then, of course, as I said earlier on, the power business, which is a lesser component, but not necessarily a insignificant component to the business, because it has some great opportunities for us in that space. But, I'm familiar with the industry, the Gulf Coast and the open shop business. Whilst the labor posture is different, the work and the needs and the expectations from the client aren't necessarily different. So, I've come to the organization, come to this part of the business here in the US in the open shop when the decision was made by the organization to sell the company, which was around April, May 2022. And officially sold May 2023. So 10, 11 months now officially sold in this organization. So, the environment may be different, the nuances may be different, but the work and the industry and the challenges like labor are very similar.
No question. So, Mick, we'll go a little more personal too, man. Give me a fun fact for folks that don't know you personally. Give me a hobby or something that, what do you do? What do you do when you're not crushing it with CAM and taking care of your staff and your clients?
Yeah. So, Jeremy, I love to travel. I'm one of those, been probably in the work environment for 30 years now. When, whenever I've taken vacation, either voluntarily or in some cases early in my career, we had to take vacation because reduction of costs or whatever. I actually never stay at home. I never do projects at home. I kind of do those on the weekend. So I've always explored and traveled. I have lived in three countries and I actually, in fact, speak three languages. But I have found through travel, the joys that I have through travel is it really breaks down prejudices, and we should actually probably realize that we're more similar than we might ever think we are. And so that's been a real privilege to me, and it's been a good lesson for my kids to see that growing up in North America, the opportunities that we have here aren't necessarily opportunities that you have in all other countries of the world.
No, that's a great point. But wait, what are the three languages, Mick?
I had a feeling you may ask that. So, of course, hopefully you realize that even with my accent, I do speak English. So that is my first language.
That's one.
But by way of my last name, Kafer, my parents grew up in Austria. I was born in Austria, and then they immigrated when I was quite young. And my dad actually was, funnily enough, an electrician. So, the background is always, I guess, being in the family that there's trade. The history, and so they immigrated to South Africa when I was a year old, and in South Africa had two languages, English and Afrikaans. And Afrikaans is a Dutch dialect, if you want. The first European founders or inhabitants of South Africa were the Dutch,
right?
And so it became a language, and so those are the three languages I speak. I don't profess to speak German or Afrikaans with in a business sense with any fluidity, but I could certainly get my way around.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. Yeah, my family's from South Louisiana, and I had grandparents, and my wife's grandparents too. Spoke Cajun French, right? So it's right. I hear you, man. Well, Mick, I let's do this. We got so much more to talk about. Would love to have you back on as especially this topic of workforce development as it drives our industry and in some ways hinders the project side of our business too, right? It's an issue. And so anyway, there's plenty of other topics we can talk about in the future. So we'll wrap this up today. I just wanted to say thank you for your time and your conversation. And hey, if there's any other updates or reasons to come back on with us, you're always welcome.
Jeremy, appreciate your time too. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Absolutely, my friend. And look, for everyone watching, we thank you so much for our audience. For more videos, news, podcasts, and project information, visit BICMagazine.com. Remember, folks, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast. Log on to BICMagazine.com for industry news and resources. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICAlliance.com for more information.